¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. ¡El football is back, primos!
Yeah, let's go!
All right.
So good.
Oh, so man. Good. Well, I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. My primo is Ricky Torres. Hector Reyes, we're so excited to be back. The football is back.
Yes. They call me Heck. That is H-E-C. And H-E-C backwards is C-E-H, my main guy who took off today. So, very exciting.
You know what? You were waiting to say that. I bet you've had that in your pocket this whole time, and you're waiting.
Actually, that got popped into my head like a week ago. I was like, man, that is so clever. And then, like, I forgot about it. And then, like, just right now, I remembered it. So I had to bring it out and throw it out there because that is very clever. Thank you, Rick, for acknowledging how clever that is.
I thought you figured it out right after you picked them in the first round on Sunday. No, so.
Like, it was like a week ago. Like, hey, that's actually, like, I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I picture Heck putting the sticker on the board and going, oh, finally, I can use that nickname.
That's right. C-E-H is the opposite of H-E-C, so let's go.
Oh, man. Well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. You know, es un placer. I mean, es un éxito right now, especially. We're all fired up right after the game. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffb.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, and our familiaffb Facebook page. So here we are, the world champion Kansas City Chiefs, 34-20 over the Houston Texans. It felt so good.
They did not skip a beat.
Right. Yeah. I read a lot, you know, from, again, we talk about the experts, you know, don't get your hopes up. It's week one, you know, every team's going to be rusty because they haven't played against real, you know, real defenses. It did not look like that at all, at least not from KC side in the beginning. You know, yeah, the Texans did look pretty good, pretty in tune. You know, Fuller went off. We'll talk about some of the stats from the game, but, you know, there were some players that did have some very good games. It for the most part, it didn't look like there was any rust at all. I mean, KC just looked, like you said, Rick, they just look like a well-oiled machine, and wow, watch out, NFL. These guys are not.
And just looking at what Georgie has written here, the funniest thing is, you know how the Texans went for two rather than the field goal, and right, they missed it? Had they just gone for the field goal, the over-under would have been above, because it was over-under was 54.5, yep, and 54 points were scored in the game. So I feel bad for everyone on the over.
Yeah, but don't feel bad, because the spread was 9.5 and KC covered big time. Well, not big time, but obviously the game was more of a blowout than what the final score indicated or shows. But yeah, they won by 11, but it was over easily, just, you know, midway through the third quarter.
It's what we expected.
Over. Yeah,
I don't think there's any big surprises here, because I feel like we all knew what CEH was capable of. We just finally get to see it.
Yes.
But I feel bad for the Texans, because I don't see a playoff team. I mean, I see a team that can score points and be fancy, but they're not going to stop anyone. And I mean, I don't know how great Casey's defense is, but they tore through the Texans. Texans only scored this many points because it was the fourth quarter and Kansas City was tired. They had no fans to cheer them on. So,
yeah, for Deshaun Watson being a mobile quarterback, he definitely got sacked. Was it three sacks? Two or three sacks? He threw one pick.
He's used to that, though. Yeah. He gets sacked a lot.
He
runs outside the pocket, and they'll get a sack like that. Like, to where even the announcers are being like, oh, is that going to be a sack or a tackle? It's just the way Watson is.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just not impressed by the team. I'm happy I got Will Fuller, but that's the only player I have on this team, so I'm happy.
It was like, you know, I looked at the game. I mean, Watson looked like he was good. I think that there were a couple times that the line just really let him down, especially right up the middle.
Yeah, I saw that play.
Oh, there were a couple times where he just got smacked that way. I was just like, ay, mijo,
right down the middle too, man. Right down the middle.
That just hurt. But I thought, you know, I liked what I saw out of him and Fuller. That was good. I've got Fuller on another team, so it's that one. It really looks now. Cooks was a little bit limited. You know, he had the quadricep issue, but you know, I think Fuller is going to be the number one receiver on this team, and you know, and as long as he stays healthy, and he did a lot of work on pliability to kind of, you know, hopefully, you know, veer away from those soft tissue injuries. Right. Maybe, you know, maybe he becomes just a force in this league and finally fulfills all that potential. But
yeah, speaking about that, one thing that we didn't see, which can lead to those soft tissue injuries, is really stretching out. And when you do that, it's on those go routes. And we didn't really see Fuller on a real deep, you know, back in the days when D-Hop was there, D-Hop was the main guy, and Fuller was kind of like the go guy, you know, like the deep route. You know, Fuller would just outrun you, and Deshaun would hit him with a long ball, you know, a deep bomb for a TD. We didn't really see that today. We didn't see Fuller going for the deep bombs today. We saw, you know, a lot of, you know, little dink and dunks, you know, 5 yards, 8 yards, 12 yards. I think one went for 20 yards. But nothing really flashy the way that Will Fuller is typically used, and that could possibly lead to those soft tissue injuries. So that looks like they're definitely being conservative with him. But, yeah, he got a lot of was it 10 targets today?
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, PPR, he's going to be great, and I think because they're being more conservative with him in that way, I think they're going to definitely save him a lot of wear and tear, and he's going to last a lot longer than what people might have thought.
I just hope he gets touchdowns though.
Right.
He's just going to be that guy. I mean, yeah, but I mean, this guy usually would get 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, or he would always get 100 yards.
Yeah, touchdown. Because he was the deep guy. Yeah, because he would outrun you, and then he would get hit with the deep ball. But it looks like they're, you know, he's just now D-Hop 2.0. He's not going to be the deep ball guy anymore. He's just going to be like that. You know, he's just going to get catches in bunches and yards in bunches with those catches, and not, you know, in big chunks the way he used to.
I'll tell you what, he's no Sammy Watkins.
That we know. Sammy Watkins. What is it with him in opening night? He's great on opening night.
And that's all he's good at. No one be fooled into trading for him. I remember last year I traded Gallup for Watkins because I was like, why not? And Watkins didn't do anything the rest of the year. I think he was even injured. But you're looking at this, he got the most targets. He got 9 targets out of Kelsey, yep. Hill, and Robinson each got 6. I felt like Tyreek Hill was a big disappointment. Just at the end, he helped us. I feel like Patrick Mahomes was like, all right, dude, here.
So, yeah, that was just to help the fantasy players.
Right. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, you got to love Patrick Mahomes. This guy spreads the ball. I mean, you're talking about 4 different receivers all getting at least 6 receptions. He just spreads the ball so well. Then you still got Damian Williams, Marcole Holmes.
Daryl Williams.
Daryl Williams, that's right. Damian's the other guy. Out. And I drafted Damian too at our right. draft. That was the sun and the beer's fault.
Way to go.
But even Edwards, like, he's able to spread the ball, and they're disgustingly good. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely. You hit it exactly right. That is a fair assessment.
You know, and I did go back and look at Kareem Hunt's debut back in 2017. He went 17 carries, 148 yards, 5 catches, 98 yards, 3 total TDs. So, I mean,
at all.
People were talking about, well, there were no catches for CEH, but definitely he got the rock, and he got the rock a lot. I mean, people.
25 carries. Wow, that is a beautiful thing, because I have them on my team, and that's a beautiful thing.
That is a caballo. That is a lead caballo. He is. I mean, Hector, you're gonna ride him like crazy.
Yes, sir. And he looks strong. He looks quick. That cut that he made. Yes, there was moisture in the air and some rain and whatnot. But on that touchdown run, like, he just juked that guy like nasty. That was awesome. I was like, wow. You know, like Chris Berman used to be like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like that guy was like, see ya. Like, bye. You know, I'll see you later, man. That guy went one way, and CEH went completely the other way, and he was just gone. So that was great to watch.
I you know, we talked before the show. I mean, he really reminded me of Maurice Jones-Drew, MJD. CEH, I think I even put that on Twitter. CEH equals MJD.
MJD, there you go.
It was, he really looked at low center of gravity. I know he took some hits today. he took some hits. You know, Ricky, I know you were worrying.
I just think he's playing like a big dog, but he's in a way different yard. This is the first NFL hits. I'd love to see him next week. That's all I really want to see is how does he bounce back?
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I mean, you say, oh, he's played in the SEC. The SEC is not 100% NFL lineman. The NFL is like the cream of the crop when you talk about the SEC. So
that's true.
He's taking these hits from all these SEC top whatever players every play, and he got the ball 25 times. I just want to see how he bounces back. If he can bounce back and use that youth, perfect. But, I mean, rely on the jukes. I saw he rocked one of the Texans' defensemen, and the guy just fell to the floor. And he got
broke his ankles.
CEH can get low.
Right.
So yeah. He's dangerous, but I'm just like, oh, like I'm, as an ER nurse, I'm just like, be careful.
I will say one last thing on the game today. David Johnson, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he does. Looks healthy.
Yeah, he got the touchdown. He had a good move there, a good move to get, you know, open up some space and get in the end zone. So it really looks like. And it was one of those things you kind of knew that Bill O'Brien was going to feed him almost by capricho, that he was just going to be like, okay, I'm going to prove that I made the right deal. So I think David Johnson's going to get the ball a lot. I think they would have gotten the ball a lot more, but you know, definitely the Chiefs won the time of possession. I think do we have a time of possession?
Oh,
on this?
Yeah, big.
CEH had more carries than the Texans.
I don't see time of possession here. I'm trying to find it, but one thing that I'll say is, what is the word going to be in Houston when it's like, what would have been the outcome of this game if DeAndre Hopkins was still there? You know, how much different would it have been?
I don't think they think that. I think they need to get over that real quick.
Okay.
And just be like, look, this is who we got. We didn't do well, but we also didn't get torn up. No pick sixes.
They got torn up. This game was over, and this game was over essentially at halftime. Against
they didn't
this
get
game,
tore up
you knew
they
it.
Didn't
they
get,
got tore up.
They didn't get embarrassed. They got.
They did.
A bit,
they did
a,
get
not,
embarrassed. You know, anyone, say, if you know football, this was they got embarrassed
AC
because he
could have put the gas pedal on hard and won
well,
like.
Well, yeah, they're not
going to
do that. I mean. You know, Patrick,
yeah, and that's
Patrick
why
Mahomes
the Texans, that's
and
all
Deshaun
the
Watson have
to hold their head
friends.
Up. But Deshaun
Watson, they're buddies. He wasn't going to embarrass him, but they did embarrass them. What was the score like? Somewhere in the third quarter, they were down by like 2.5 or 3 scores. It was pretty bad.
I think it was 3 scores. Just to I found the time of possession. The Chiefs had the ball 34-47. And the Texans 25-13, almost a 10-minute difference. And I think a lot of that was the 9-minute drive that the Chiefs had in the second quarter.
Yep.
17 plays, that just ate up so much of the clock. Well,
and I think when Houston looked at their schedule, they already knew they were losing this game.
I think you probably did.
I mean, it's just one of those things where they have to just take it as it is and be like, all right, week two.
One.
Kind of knew what was going to happen week one, and
somebody has to play the Chiefs, and we got the short toothpick. That was it.
Somebody Four has helps. To be the Christians. Somebody has to be the Christians being fed to the lions. So
that's it, man. There you go.
Well, hey, let's start looking ahead to Sunday. Let's get some chisme going.
Man. Chisme Domingo. Let's go.
Oh, chisme para el domingo. Ooh, so
exciting.
Courtland Sutton diagnosed with a sprained right AC joint in his shoulder.
Oh,
it's that I, it's he's officially questionable, but it sounds similar to you know what happened to Jalen Reagor that knocked him out of practice. This is worrisome. I mean, we've talked about it so much. You know, Mike Williams also had a shoulder. This really makes me want to. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, this really makes me want to pump the brakes on Courtland Sutton for Sunday. It actually makes me, you know, kind of want to bump up Jerry Jeudy a little bit and thinking, well, he's next man up.
Yeah. I mean, Sutton may not even play. He's likely not to play. I mean, the guy's having an MRI or he had an MRI, right? He after practice today, he had an MRI, and That's bad. It's bad. Sprained shoulder and your wide receiver who jumps high and catches jump balls.
Those I don't two think things Judy, are... guys. Noah Fant. Go for him in Daily Fantasy.
Ooh, DFS. that would be very interesting.
He's got to be the guy in the middle. He's got to be the guy to get, and he's not going to be as well looked at. Everyone's going to focus on the running game for the Broncos. That's what Pittsburgh is going to do, is just knock the running game. Yeah. So look at them just to throw it and get it to Fant. So,
well, don't forget they're playing Tennessee. Pittsburgh is the Giants. Oh, we're going to talk about that game in a second.
They're fine. I would pick up Fant easily just because I feel like who else is there to hog the ball?
Right.
It becomes much more narrow. It really could be just Judy and Fant. And Fant's a good bet. Fant is
that
a good
puts
bet.
A ton of pressure on Drew Lock. It wasn't already a ton of pressure on the guy, but geez, that really raises the stakes.
We'll talk more of that. We'll talk more of that when we preview the game in a few minutes.
But, yep.
49ers, another game that we're going to preview. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel kind of going in different directions. Brandon Ayuk returns to practice, but he got a limited session. But Deebo Samuel sidelined with the foot. I mean, everything was positive about Deebo. I was tempering my enthusiasm. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play.
I hope they don't let him play. I hope that they let him take the week out. It's a big game that they got this weekend. Because it's NFC versus NFC West versus NFC West. So I hope they sit him out just because I hate to see people come back early and try it. And if Ayuk's healthy, I mean, you don't need both of them. Just send one of them out. Let the other one get healthy. It's better in the long end.
Oh, we'll see. Okay, so let's move over. We're running through the cheese, man, because we got some previews to get through. David Montgomery, he was upgraded to full in Thursday's practice. I'm like, this guy was just considered to be out for maybe even 6 weeks with the groin, and now he's practicing in full. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. Yo no sé. I'm worried somebody may be playing a little mentiroso with us.
I feel like you could say that about everything because I'm like, all right, maybe they're saying that about Ayuk or even Sutton. But no, I think you're right, Georgie. A groin, as we all know, is really hard to get over. It's a really thick muscle or tendon. So I don't know. I think he's probably just going to go in for a few and they're just going to let Cohen go wild. But they need Montgomery to at least force the defense to cave in so that eventually Cohen can go out. So I think you're right. He's not going to be fully there, but I also don't think they're going to give him that much. And that sucks because I really need him.
You have him? You scooped him up?
Right? In one league, I have like one running back and then him.
So. I actually in my Estadio Fantasy Bowl league, I started Darrell Williams instead of David Montgomery. I could still move Montgomery in as a flex on Sunday, but I'm not counting on him playing. I'm really not counting on him.
Yeah,
him or Singletary that I put in. So
yeah, like Rick said, I think this is more of like a chess move. You know, it's more of a strategic move. I wouldn't put too much faith in. You know, we all know, you know, how this works. The politics of the injury report, like Belichick is like a master at it. You know, coaches use this to their advantage however they can. Most of the time strategic, but when it comes to science, you know, go with the science. You know, if the guy was, you know, they're saying that the guy's not going to walk for a month and now he's magically full in practice, you know, upgraded to full, I would lean to the side of caution for sure.
It looks like caution is winning the day in Detroit, which may sideline a couple of players. DeAndre Swift, he was limited in Thursday's practice, while Kenny Golladay was out of practice. He hurt his hammy there at the end of practice on Wednesday, and that one's a little bit of a concern. That's a big concern.
A lot of people are relying on Golladay. He was drafted way up there. Now you got this injury. It's like these people, this was for a lot of people, this is their number one wide receiver. So that's kind of a big deal. DeAndre Swift, you know what? They should just keep him out. They got Kerryon Johnson. There's no reason to play the guy.
Right.
He's your new piece. So just put him to the side. But I feel like Golladay's a huge hit. Marvin Jones numbers definitely go up if Golladay's sitting this weekend with Hockenson too.
Oh, yeah.
So, and if Swift can get healthy, they can use Swift. Swift for like those little side passes, get him out into open space. But this team's awesome. So even them losing their best piece, they're still a great team.
Yep.
We're going to see. I don't know how they're going to do the with Swift out. If Swift is indeed out, how they're going to break things up between Kerryon Johnson and Adrian Peterson. I almost would rather just avoid altogether.
From a fantasy standpoint, sure. But AP, real football, they'll win some games still.
AP's like a cockroach. You can't kill him. You just can't kill him. He's going to keep going and going.
He's the only guy that can be out for 6 weeks and I see come back early and be like, oh, he's fine.
Exactly. He's like the bionic man, like Steve Austin.
Well, Monday Night Football looks like there's going to be a game time decision for. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case for Diontae Johnson. He missed practice today with the foot that was bugging him the last couple weeks of camp. That was one of the things. This is why I put James Washington on our waiver wire column earlier this week, because I just thought, you know what? It's a bad defense to begin with that he's going up against. But then, Diontae Johnson, if he's going to miss the game, then James Washington, I think his stock rises a lot against that defense. And we'll talk about that one in a second. But
I have Diontae.
I have one stock in Diontae, one in DeAndre Swift, one in Montgomery. I'm not liking Cheesemet today.
I have Diontae on my bench, though. I'm starting my three receivers I have starting are DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, and Keenan Allen. And then Mark Andrews as my flex wide receiver tight end spot. So I have some good ball catchers on my squad. I can actually put Diontae on the bench. No problem.
I got him on a team. It worries me. And the thing that sucks is he's a Monday night game. So you're looking at him. You're not going to find out.
Yeah, you can't swap him out.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'd be worried. I was gonna say, because most people aren't starting Diontae Johnson unless you're really thin at wide receiver. But you better pick up Washington.
At a 14 teamer, you're gonna be thin at everything.
I might be grabbing him. I've actually got him on the bench. I've got actually got Cam Akers. So in the flex on that team. So we're gonna see. Well, let's get into some previews.
All right, let's go.
All right.
So Ricky, take us to New Orleans.
All right. So I'm excited for this game because I actually think it's gonna be one of the highest scoring games. You got two of the best quarterbacks we've seen in our lifetimes in Tom Brady and Drew Brees. You already know how I feel about Drew Brees this year. You already know how everybody else feels about Tom Brady. I think the only difference in this game, I wouldn't be surprised if New Orleans just wins by like two touchdowns, because they got a really strong defense and special teams. But then you also have Tampa Bay with their incredible offense, or at least the way it looks. So when you look at them, you have New Orleans. I don't know how you say this. The spread is -3.5. Do they take that? Easily. Over under 49.5? Easily. I believe usually when these two teams meet up, it's always like 49-51 or some high scoring game.
Right.
Especially with Jameis Winston. You had Tom Brady. I don't think it's going to be any different. Whenever you get rivals together, they always put on a show. I hope they do this for us. You got Tom Brady. He's definitely going to be top 10 play. I don't know if he's going to get top 5. And the one thing that's going to knock him down is the fact that Mike Evans has a hamstring issue. Is he out for sure? Or is he still just questionable? Do you guys know?
Still questionable.
Is he as questionable as how much time Fournette's going to get? Because from what I know, I don't know what they're going to do. The way that it looks like the teams want to do it is it looks like they all want to flaunt their pieces, because I feel like that's what Kansas City did today. They just wanted to flaunt CEH. They didn't have to, but they did it. Everyone got a touchdown in that game. So I feel like Tampa Bay is going to want to do the same thing. They're going to want to get Ronald Jones the ball. After that, he gets the ball a little bit, they're going to want to see what Fournette can do. So they're definitely going to play the hot hand, but I think we already know who it's going to be. The one guy who's probably going to make really good in this game is Georgie's guy, Chris Godwin. And I think even more than Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas is easily going to get his bites, but Godwin, most likely Tampa Bay is going to be doing all the catching up. Tom Brady doesn't like to just sit there. He'll throw it. He wants to get competitive. It's going to be a fun game. I mean, it sucks that no fans are going to be there, or not, at least not the full crowd, because this game would be wild. As far as yes. Alvin Kamara is concerned, he's going to – I would want to say he's going to run over this team, but their run defense last year for Tampa Bay was first in the league. So hopefully Kamara can just stay healthy and they can just make it a passing game, because Kamara's kind of got a back issue right now and I need him for the whole season. I got him in two leagues. But other than that, Emmanuel Sanders, I would definitely expect to get at least five receptions, if not more than that, because that's what he does for a living. Dude is a receptions monster. If you don't have him on your team and you're in PPR and he's in the free agency, definitely got to pick him up. And other than that, I mean, I don't think Gronk's going to do anything. I'm not looking forward to any of the tight ends in this game. But other than that, I'm looking at basically both teams flying high the whole time.
Yeah, shootout. I see that, too. I agree with you. I think this will be one of those 35-31 or, you know, so, yeah, like you said. Yeah. I think its combined score is going to be, I think, at least 60 points. It's going to be up there. So I'm looking forward to
it. I think even more. I think it's going to be a fast game. It just it looks is. Like – because I don't think either team wants to rely on their running game. I wouldn't want to if I was either team.
Right.
And they both have great passing setups, so it's like, do it.
And it was – and you look at these guys, and I'm trying to remember what you know, Tampa Bay was great against the run last year, but they were not good against the pass. They were number 30 against the pass.
Yeah.
And New Orleans, they were great against – they were also great against the run, and they were like number 20 against the pass. So I think that this is going to be I think this could be the DFS play where you invest in the big dogs, like a Chris Godwin or a Michael Thomas, those guys. I think it's going to be a good game.
Scores galore.
It's going to be fun. God. Oh,
Hector, Hector, coming up, Heck.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how high scoring this team's going to be. We'll talk about the Arizona Cardinals going at San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are favored by 7. Is that a typo?
Yeah, they're favored by 7.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think if you're thinking of the Niners offense, you just have to think about injuries. I mean, we just talked about Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. And, yes, they're going to have to rely on their running game. Yes, they had George Kittle, but they're not going to be able to just rely on Kittle all game long. We've talked about, how Kyle Shanahan used Jimmy Garoppolo last year. And it was just weird. At the end of the season, it just got weird. And he was just really relying heavily on that running game. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But I don't have a whole heck of a lot of confidence at all in Jimmy G. I don't think many people drafted him anywhere in fantasy football land to do any kind of fantasy, to have any kind of fantasy impact.
He's my second QB, but it's okay.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
I had to. He was like the last one.
But yeah, but it's like for bye week and, stuff like that. You're not actually probably going to consider him maybe at any time. If you're – it's not going to be a coin toss like, there's a good matchup this week.
Ain't happy about having him.
Yeah. I love the Cardinals offense. And I've talked about it before. I got Kenyon Drake in my league. I scooped him up second round. So I'm very thrilled to have him. Obviously, we know – DeAndre Hopkins just got scooped up. You have Kyler Murray, who is electric. Of course, you have the wise old man, the Yoda, Larry Fitzgerald, that's going to be mentoring all the guys on the squad. Not that D-Hop needs that, but there's just a lot. I know that AZ is just going to come out to play. I know they're going to do well. I like them to win this game. Yes, we looked at the KC game tonight. There were fans there. I don't think any of that had any kind of impact on how poorly the Texans played as far as crowd noise goes. AZ's on the road. I don't think that has any impact at all on them. I think Kenyon Drake has a decent game. Yes, San Francisco has a great offense. A great defense. Terrible offense, sorry. So their defense, obviously, I think the 7-point spread is all obviously because of the Niners defense. But I don't know. I like the fact that Kyler Murray is, as we always say, the dual threat. The guy can run. The guy can throw darts. And Kenyon Drake is going to be the X factor. Yes, the Niners have a great run defense. But I think Kenyon Drake's going to be able to get loose in this game. I think the Cardinals will win this game. I would definitely put a bet on that. And yeah, I as from a fantasy standpoint, maybe Mostert. I mean, I've seen some highlights, and I know he did some things last year. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I'm not a fan.
Fantasy wise, San Fran just has Kittle.
Right.
I wouldn't want anyone else on that team for this game.
Right. Right.
When you look at Arizona, I think the one thing that no one's really taken into account that daily fantasy needs to is Dan Arnold. Dan Arnold is actually he played last year with Murray, and Murray actually showed good, what do you call it, good chemistry with him at the end of the year.
Rapport.
And they totally changed. I felt like they changed the way they played the last few games of the season. They just changed everything. They freaked out San Fran. That's why Drake was able to get over 100 yards and a TD on them.
Yep.
So, and I think they're going to do the same thing this year with Hopkins and just blow everyone out of the water with these, I don't know, they're going to be crazy good because they're fast. They got strength in the middle with DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know. I think this team's dangerous. I feel like they're going to win, so bet on them.
Yep.
You know, you look at this game, and one of the things that I remember from the Super Bowl, before the Super Bowl, thinking, is the 49er defensive secondary going to be able to keep up with great speed? And DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers. I mean, he's not Tyreek Hill fast, but he's, you know, just a click slower. And, you know, you look at him and it's like, is he going to be able to do what he wants? I think this could be a coming out party for Arizona. I think San Francisco will have a decent game. I don't know how much better Arizona's defense is going to be after because they were one of the worst in the NFL last year. So this could be a game for Jimmy G to be a DFS play, but I can see Arizona, Kenyon Drake figured them out, from the running back position. I wonder if DeAndre Hopkins, and again, we're looking at that second year jump from Kyler Murray. I think this is going to be a fun game.
Yeah, you remember the play. Everyone remembers the play last year when Tyreek Hill got loose on the Niners secondary in the Super Bowl and just blew the game out. So, yep. Yes, to your point, George, the secondary, the Niners secondary is vulnerable. Yeah, you know, up front, they're tough. Heck yeah, they're tough. But that secondary, man, they are definitely vulnerable. And if anybody can exploit that, it is D-Hop and Kyler Murray. So, yes, I don't disagree with you. I'm looking forward to – you know, a lot of surprised people like, wait a minute, DeAndre Hopkins did what against the Niner defense? And I think he might just blow him out. And it's going to be, like you said, a coming out party.
Oh, man. Well, coming out party is going to be Sunday night. Dallas at the Rams in their new pristine SoFi Stadium. Which
does it have like a nickname yet? Like, you know, Jerry World over there in Dallas. The
Charger Land.
Fogerland. Yeah. You're biased, man. That doesn't count.
I don't know. I mean, it's I know SoFi paid a lot of money to get their name on it. So right now it's just SoFi. But you got definitely some high powered offenses that are going into this game. I know, you know, people are poo-pooed the Rams. I think they're going to be back this year, playing a lot better. But you know, you got Dak Prescott. You know, he's gonna come in and just this is the next chapter in his salary drive to get paid and get paid somewhere in the Deshaun Watson neighborhood. But
the stratosphere.
Look at this game. I think there's gonna be one particular battle that I'm going to be very interested in. Amari Cooper against Jalen Ramsey of the Rams. Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro defensive back. He is now considered the preeminent cornerback in the game. Is he going to come in and shut down Amari Cooper? He's definitely faced up against him and won the battles with Cooper. Cooper does have that tendency to disappear when he's up against good defenders. But I mean, you look at this one and but I think Dallas has so many weapons. You still got Gallup. Mm-hmm. You still got CeeDee Lamb, and you got Zeke. That this is where the interesting part is. Zeke can carve up anybody. The Rams, they were not particularly great against the run last year, so I don't know. I don't expect that to change. But Prescott could have a little bit of problems, but I think he's still going to get some deep balls. The Rams on their side, I think the big there are going to be two things that are going to be people are going to keep an eye on. Is Jared Goff, is he going to be able to keep his jersey clean? Is he going to is the offensive line going to keep him upright? And I think if they do, then it could be, then good things could happen, because Dallas had some losses to their defensive secondary, so they could be vulnerable against the pass. And if Goff is, you know, pitching it to Woods and Kupp and Tyler Higbee, it could be a fun day for Rams. The other thing is Cam Akers. What is his workload going to be? Right. Is he going to be the man and going to get 20 touches, like, you know, 20 plus touches? I don't think he'll get 25 like the CEH got today. But I think if he gets 20 touches, it's going to be a good day for him. If he's limited to 10 or 12, then everybody like me who drafted him is going to be crying in our cerveza. So that's going to be a tough one. But I'm also going to keep an eye on how involved Tyler Higbee is going to be in the passing game, because he is so good at the end of last year. Does he carry that over into this new season?
I hope he does, because if he does really good, I picked him up off waivers and I can trade Kelsey to somebody. Get a nice little piece. So
yeah, there you go. Get yourself.
Let's
some
go, Higbee.
Hey, okay. I it was very interesting. If you were listening tonight, paying attention to the broadcast tonight on NBC, Chris Collinsworth made a comment, and he's like, I can't wait for the Dallas Rams game because I can't wait to see CeeDee Lamb. And I was just like, whoa, of all the players that are going to be playing in this game, he called out CeeDee Lamb. Like, I can't wait to see this guy, you know. And Chris Collinsworth, you know, if you understand, you know, to me, at least I respect his opinion. And Chris Collinsworth is he's a G, and you know, to me, the guy knows his stuff. So if Chris Collinsworth says, keep an eye on this guy, like, this guy's going to be fun to watch, this guy's going to be really good, then I definitely you know, my antenna was definitely paying attention there, listening. Like, okay, I'm gonna make a note of that and keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if anyone pick him up in our league. Is he available on waivers yet, or did he?
I'm definitely checking right now.
Yeah, because I'd be curious because
someone has him.
Somebody has him already. Okay, no, yeah, CeeDee Lamb. We've talked about him a few times, but yeah, I thought it was interesting. Of all the players, I mean, obviously there's a lot of star power in this game. I thought it was very interesting that Collins would call out that he can't wait to see this game because he wants to see CeeDee Lamb. So among other players, it's going to be fun to watch. Great, especially
considering the fact that Collinsworth was a Pro Bowl wide receiver himself. Exactly. So he really knows the position. So
exactly right. So I was like, wow, when he said that, I was like, man, I even need to keep an eye on this guy.
That's going to be fun to watch. Yeah. Ricky, let's go to Monday Night Football. Take us to Monday Night Football.
This is the game that we have Pittsburgh playing against the New York Giants. I'll tell you what, the game's not going to be boring, but we already know who's going to win. Pittsburgh's got a great defense, and they're going against a great offense and a healthy offense at that with Danny Dimes and Saquon. But their defense just isn't going to be able to hold Pittsburgh back if, and I know we're saying if, and the season already started, but if Big Ben comes back after that elbow injury, which Hector thinks he will, I'm still saying, hey, this is a great game to see if the Pittsburgh Steelers can do it. They got an easy-ish defense to go through. I think they're like the seventh worst defense on Yahoo, but they have a weak defense to go through. So let's look at it this way. Yeah, Big Ben easily can get 5 touchdowns this game. Will he do it? I don't know. Like I said, I think people are going to showcase their skills week 1 because there's no preseason. They're bored, and that's just watch. Everyone's going to showcase it. James Conner, he's still going to do his thing. I don't think Snell's going to take any of his juice, but definitely expect Roethlisberger and Conner to get their numbers. But also watch out for Juju's comeback, because last year he was poo-poo, and this year finally he's going to do something. The only bad thing for him is Deontay Johnson might not play in the game. Does that mean there's going to be more coverage on Juju? If there is, James Washington's still a really, really great receiver. And something that I think not a lot of people are looking at is Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron was a beast when he was in Indianapolis. He always scored touchdowns when he had luck. So when he had a good quarterback. And guess what? Big Ben's just as great a quarterback, if not way better, than Andrew Luck ever was. So I think Eric Ebron's going to be a sneaky tight end pick. Definitely someone that you're going to want to look after the waivers, because this guy almost can guarantee a touchdown. Now, when you look at New York's side, Pittsburgh's got a strong defense, and what I don't like about New York is their new head coach, Joe Judge. The only good thing about him as far as coaches is that he's from New England, but usually they're pretty bad at first too. So, and they're also going to let Jason Garrett run all the offensive plays. I'm not a huge Jason Garrett fan, but he did kind of build the Cowboys to what they are now. But I don't know. I feel like this could be hit or miss with these players. I know Pittsburgh, because Tomlin already said it, Pittsburgh is going to try to limit what Saquon Barkley can do. So if they just focus on that, this game's all on Danny Dimes. And like Georgie loves to point out, it's his sophomore season. Is he going to be able to break out of that little hole and actually be able to be more accurate, less interceptions, and get it out to Slayton and Shepard because Golden Tate's out? I don't know. I think, if anything, Pittsburgh's offense is going to be great if they can go back to what it is. But it's a huge question mark. Will they go back? Is Big Ben still the big monster we know him to be? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, he said it. He said it himself. I mean, the guy said himself. But he was playing,
Sorry, I was just going to say, but can the Giants were awesome every now and then. Saquon would have an awesome game here and there. True. Can they put all that together? That, I think that's the bigger question. I think Pittsburgh is going to be awesome, and I'm excited because I bought a pretty good amount of stock in them.
Yeah, I think Ben will be fine. I think he's said it enough times, and I think you've seen, you know, guys like Juju going, you know, high on the draft board, Connor going high on the draft board. I think there's enough people that have faith in what Big Ben has said, that he's gonna be fine, and he's gonna run his offense efficiently and score a lot of points to get guys like Connor, you know,
and he can do it.
Some good he's fantasy value, to us, yeah.
He can do it
exactly. No doubt.
And with over under 47.5, do you bet over?
Man, yeah. If Saquon can go off, it's
going to be completely reliant on if the Giants can do anything,
right?
Yeah, it's going to come down.
Pittsburgh's going to run.
Yeah, because if they don't fill. Oh gosh, yeah. I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough points
I'd stay away from that over under. That one's a little bit. I'd stick to some that are a little bit more. That I have a little more confidence in. This one's kind of dicey, like you said. There's a lot of variables. I'd probably stay away from that.
But it does have the ingredients for an awesome offensive game. At least
for Pittsburgh.
Not all of it. Yeah, for Pittsburgh. But, I mean, if New York can show us something new, because everything they're going to be doing is going to be pretty new. And everyone's got experience because they're a young, young team. So if they can show that there's something, I mean, it might be a fun game to watch. And it's Monday Night Football, so I hope they bring it. I hope they have something new to show us.
Yeah, Danny Dimes, I actually put him on the – so this is going to be coming out on Friday, and Danny Dimes is on our Adentro y Afuera column, which is our variation of Stardom Sit'em, and I've got him afuera. I'm recommending to sit him because I just think he did not do well against good defenses last year. All of his blow up games were against the worst defenses in the league, the Washingtons, the Philadelphia secondary, and the Jets. So they're just not good. So I'm looking for him, and I mentioned it earlier in this episode. James Washington, keep an eye on him. I think Juju's going to get fed plenty, and I think James Washington is a good bet to break off a long catch. And I don't, other than Saquon, I don't know who to. I don't know if I'd start anybody else on the Giants. Maybe Sterling Shepard, but I just think that Pittsburgh defense is too damn good, too good.
Yep.
Hector, close us out in Mile High City.
All right. So 7:20 p.m. our time, which is L.A. time. Monday night, Tennessee Titans at Denver Broncos. Tennessee's favored by 1 point, over under a paltry 40.5, which Vegas
which means
in Vegas terms generally that this will be a defensive effort. However, we just heard that Von Miller is out for the season, right? That's what we heard. He's out for the season.
Yeah.
And then Bradley Chubb also out So that's so a couple of big hits on Denver's defense. I don't know who they have in place of these two studs on their defensive side, but they're definitely not Von Miller or Bradley Chubb. So, but you, let's start with Tennessee's offense. Ryan Tannehill, one of the more underrated players. I've talked about him plenty of times this season on our podcast. I think he and Kenyon Drake both came from Miami, which was just like, where you go to, you know, where good players go to die, essentially. You know, they both had resurgences coming, you know, Drake going to Arizona and Tannehill going to Tennessee. Both had fantastic seasons.
Poor Jarvis Landry.
Second halves. Jarvis Landry. He got because of injuries. But Tannehill, he's doing well. I think he's, if you have him on your team, kudos to you. You probably picked him up late. And I think after the first couple weeks of the season, people are going to be clamoring to try to add him to their team off waivers. I look for him to do very well. AJ Brown's going really high ADPs, which goes to show that people are starting to figure that out and have some confidence in Tannehill. And I think he's going to be awesome. So I think he's way undervalued already. Derrick Henry goes without saying. The guy's a super beast mode running back, and he's going to have another awesome year. The guy's just built like a tank, like a Mack truck. There's no reason to think that that won't happen again. He's going to have he'll have a good game against Denver. He's one of these guys that's, you know, unstoppable, that, you know, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. So Denver will hope to contain him. I don't really think they'll be able to because he's Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown, I think he'll do well. Again, I had both A.J. Brown and Tannehill on my squad second half of the season last year. And there's no reason to think, again, these guys have just one more year of rapport under their belts. So they're gonna connect again for sure. AJ Brown, look for him to have one, if not two, TDs this game. Jonnu Smith at tight end, let's see what he can do coming out, you know, across the middle and be kind of a safety valve there for Tannehill as well. On the Denver side, big, I think we talked about it earlier, big issue there. Cortland Sutton with a shoulder problem. He's not going to play this game and possibly more games. That is that's a big hit for Drew Locke stock. So he's got yes, Melvin Gordon can catch balls coming out of the back. Philip Lindsay's dynamic. If you have him on your squad, kudos to you too. He went kind of late. I think people were leaning on Melvin Gordon early and Lindsay was going kind of late, but that's a great 1-2 punch between Gordon and Lindsay. Now you may be thinking, okay, well, Cortland Sutton's out. Who do I lean on? You're looking at either Jerry Jeudy, dynamic wide receiver, or Noah Fant, tight end. Either one of these guys, I think, will fit in nicely and grab a bunch of targets that Cortland Sutton would have gotten. This is a weird one at -1 Tennessee. I don't know. Over under at 40.5. I'm tending to think, because they lost Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, I think both of those guys, or either of those guys, is worth at least a couple points for the over under, keeping it lower. I think the score goes a little bit higher than this. I would probably bet the over on this game.
Nah, I think under.
Yeah.
I think they're mile high. That always does something to the breadth of the opponent. I love Derrick Henry. I don't think he's gonna go 200 yards, 3 touchdowns.
No, I don't think so either.
And I think they're just gonna run it. Tannehill's gonna be a game time manager. It's gonna be like 24-10. Watch.
I could see that.
And that's only if Denver can't do anything. It might even be 14-10. It might
not
be
even
like
Melvin Gordon. You don't see Melvin Gordon, your former Charger god.
He's a new guy. I think he could be awesome, but I feel like all Tennessee has to do is knock out the running game right now, because the passing game. I mean, if Sutton doesn't play, all you gotta do is contain Jeudy and Fant, and as long as they can make sure Fant doesn't beat them, they're fine.
I look at this game. I think this could be a Derrick Henry game because Denver's defense is so banged up, and so I think it really could be his, with Tannehill taking some shots with AJ Brown. I'm gonna really keep an eye on how the carries are split up between Gordon and Lindsay to see if it gives us some kind of indication on what's gonna be happening. I mean, I think a lot of people faded on Melvin Gordon, thinking that Philip Lindsay was gonna be too involved, and Cortland Sutton. Primos, I've got a decision to make because I've got a flex position where I have Cortland Sutton in it, and on my bench I have Jonnu Smith and Noah Fant. So
ooh, man.
I put in, I don't know.
That's a coin toss, man.
But in Jonu, you know what? Because you don't know.
Well, you know what? To what you were saying, Rick, who's the other? I mean, what's Denver's receiving core? I mean, if Sutton's out, it's just Judy and Fett. You only have two guys. So,
I mean, I hope.
Then again, over there at Tennessee, it's also just Jonu.
It's also two guys.
Essentially, yeah. I'll tell you what.
I think Fant, because honestly, if Tennessee's up by a lot, they're not going to push the ball that hard. They're going to run it and just get first downs and two runs. So I don't see Jonu gain that much opportunity compared to Fant. I think he's going to get the ball thrown to him a lot more because there's going to be garbage time.
Right.
And come because back. There's just not enough players to throw to. And and he's going to be the, what do you call it? Like the go-to guy for Drew Lock when he can't find anybody. So, and he's not going to find anybody. So
yeah, the safety valve. Yeah, the safety valve. I do like that. I do like that analysis. That is safe. That is some excellent research. Analysis. That's solid.
Hashtag research.
Hashtag research. There you go.
Oh, man. Bueno, eso es todo for our show. For all our week one preview. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast into the Familia community. Please subscribe and at Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a wherever you can. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. I'm going to be doing a little live tweeting during the game at Jorge Martin 17. So during the day's game. So whatever's happening, whichever one I'm watching or whatever. Hopefully my phone is lighting up because I've got a lot of
alerts, scoring alerts.
A lot of alerts. Exactly.
So we'll see. We all hope for that.
Exactly. I can't do that. My team's going to be awesome no matter what. So, catch on fire.
Well, everybody, you know, everybody, primos, let's all enjoy week one of the football season.
Yes, sir.
Gotta love it.
Cheers to that. Competition, boys.
Cheers to that.
Yes,
let's go.
Yes. Salud. Yeah. Have
Let
some
the
good
games
beers.
Begin.
Yep. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.
So, you know, I was thinking, three people.